Hello, everyone. This is Keith, and I wanted to introduce today's show. It is Lum and Abner from October the 3rd, 1948. The store is partially on someone else's property, although sometimes it's titled is Lum and Abner having trouble paying their back taxes. And that's really kind of the gist of the show. Is it starts out, they're having trouble paying their taxes, and they want to get a loan, and they discover the store on someone else's property, and of course Squire Skimp has a hand in it, and it ends up with the banker that Ben Withers recommends from good old Mount Ida, or Mount Ida, yeah, however they say that, is only willing to loan to a family man. So Lum's out of the question, and they coach Abner on what to say. There's a mix-up, and there's a particular name for this type of a comedy where two people are talking about different things, but one doesn't realize the other is talking about something different. And that's what happens with Abner and Lum and the banker. You know, Lum and the banker think Abner is talking about his wife having a problem, and they're surprised how flippant he is. And Abner, of course, is not talking about that. Well, with that said, that's how the show goes. This is a 30-minute show, and from here on out, I will have comments on the 30-minute shows. I'll at least do this through the month of October as I post these out there. I may continue the comments. I'll definitely continue the shows. There's a lot of controversy with the 30-minute shows. People of the era who liked Lum and Abner would send in letters saying, what's all these people doing in the Job Down store? What are all these laughs? Where did this band come from? And from these first few shows, I've listened to probably about 3 or 4 months worth of the shows. I haven't really taken a lot of notes on them myself, just enjoying them. And I have to say I like them. They're pretty good. They're a lot, you know, overly produced than the simple format. Of course, there is a studio audience that was never there before. And it's a lot more of a slick production. But it was, I guess, too slick for its own good. And it only lasted for 2 years. Actually, it only lasted for probably the first year. And then the sponsor bailed on them. They lost some of the actors. I think they lost some of the writers. And being as sustained, as they call it, radio show, it quickly didn't do so well, and after 2 years they went back to the tried and true form. So there's some of my own personal comments. You'll hear other things about these shows that I read straight from the Jot 'em Down Journal, which is the official publication of the National Lum and Abner Society, located at lumandabner.org, I think. Let's do a search for National Lum and Abner Society, and you will find where they're at on the web. Follow them on Facebook. There's a Lum and Abner radio fan page. A lot of good people there. A lot of good conversations and tidbits about our good friends from Pine Ridge, Arkansas. And one last thing. I'll shut up, I promise. This is actually the same as the pilot episode that I just posted probably a couple months ago. I think it was in July. It's the exact same show, but you'll notice a difference. The pilot had no sponsors. This one actually has the ads that are in there with Wendell Niles as their announcer. So that's the main difference is the pilot it just had like a placeholder. This is where your ad would go, if you want to sponsor the show. Well, they now have the ads. So this is, I guess since it's the pilot, the next show is really the first show in earnest of the season. But anyway, that's why I'm announcing this one. So enjoy your trip to Pine Ridge.
Granny's Edna, I believe that's our ring.
Ah.
Frigidaire presents the new Lum and Abner Show. Tonight, Frigidaire, a division of General Motors, brings you a brand new kind of visit with those old characters down in Pine Ridge. Featuring Clarence Hartzell as Ben Withers, Vivian Laswell as Sister Simpson, with Herbert Rawlinson, the music of Phoenix Mills, and starring your old favorites, Lum and Abner. America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Yes, any way you look at it, America's number one refrigerator is Frigidaire. Number one in popularity, for more Frigidaire refrigerators serve in more American homes than any other make. Number one in thrilling new advantages, as you can see for yourself at any Frigidaire dealers. And number one in dependability, for Frigidaire refrigerators are made only by General Motors. And this association of experience with experience, of skill with skill, is your guarantee of lasting satisfaction. So when it comes to a new refrigerator for your home, remember this. The first name you think of is the right one to buy. Frigidaire, America's number one refrigerator. And now as we look in on the little community of Pine Ridge, we find Lum and Abner in their Jot-'em-Down store planning a big remodeling program. Abner has just come in from checking the boundary stakes, and Lum is trying to explain the plans. Listen.
Abner, will you stop interrupting me and concentrate on these blueprints? Do you understand them so far? Well, that's better. Now then, right here, we're going to extend the north wall about 10...
Lum, I tell you, we can't do that.
Listen, Abner, Lum Edwards don't know the meaning of the word team.
Oh, you do, too.
No, I don't.
You ain't that ignorant.
Yes, I am.
Huh? Lum, I went out in back of the store and found them boundary stakes like you told me to, and I measured and found out our lot is 50 foot wide.
Yeah.
And so is the store 50 foot wide.
Granny, that don't give us much room to bear out in, does it?
No. Facts is, we're a little overbearing right now.
What do you mean?
Well, according to them stakes out there, whoever put up this building set it over a foot and a half too far to the north.
You mean we're a foot and a half over on somebody else's property?
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Oh, my goodness, this is terrible. Here we've been sitting on somebody else's property for 30 years and never even knowed it.
Huh?
Granny, Abner, we better do something quick before we get lawsuit for protruding. Here, Ben Withers, you know a lot of people. Don't you know a good, cheap house mover?
Why?
I talked to a feller at the county seat, but he wanted $900 to move our store.
Lum, did you tell him we just wanted it moved a foot and a half downhill?
Yeah, but he said it costs as much to move it a foot and a half as it does to move it a mile.
Well, let's take the mile, then. That's a better deal.
But we don't want it moved a mile.
Oh, well, maybe they could drive it around the block a few times till it run up a mile.
No, it's just too high. Ben, are you sure you don't know a good house mover?
Well, certainly. The man you want is Clarence Vinkafoos.
Is he cheap?
Cheapest man in Mount 80. You know him, don't you, Abner? I don't believe I do, no. Father of Kenneth and Herbert Vinkafoos? Kenneth and Herbert are identical twins. Well, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart if it weren't for their difference in appearance. I'll jump on a long-distance phone and call him right now.
Well, wait a minute, Ben. How much do you reckon he'll charge us?
Right. Oh, you'll like Clarence. He has two heads. Hello, operator?
Huh?
Lum, did you hear what he said? Operator, I want to call Mount 80.
Ben, maybe we better just skip this.
The party's name is Clarence Vinkafoos.
Ben, let's just forget it.
On second thought, Lum, I'd love to see that. Thank you, operator. Yes, as I was saying, Lum, Clarence has two heads mounted on the parlor wall over the fireplace.
Oh.
Dad, blame it. One of them is a small moose. The other is a goat. The goat has a nice pair of antlers.
Clarence is a hunter, huh?
No, poor driver. Hello? Hello, who is this? Well, my stars alive, how are you, Grandma? Grandma's like a fool's law.
I don't care. Get Clarence on the phone. This costs money.
How's Grandpa, Grandma?
Don't visit with him.
Certainly put him on.
Ben, we ain't got enough time for that.
Or enough money.
Hello, Grandpa. How's that? Oh, yes, they look very good. Now put Grandma back on.
We don't want Grandma.
Grandpa was showing me his new teeth.
Over the phone?
Yes. Grandpa Zickafus has never quite understood the principle of the telephone. Hello, Grandma. Oh, well, how are you, Mrs. Burgess?
Miss Burgess? How'd she get in there?
Just fine. How's Harold?
Ask if Clarence is there.
Certainly. Love to say hello to the little tyke.
Oh.
My stars, the Burgesses are temporarily staying with the Zinkafooses. It seems that Clarence moved their house for them, but can't remember where he moved it.
Look, Ben.
Hello, Harold. You can do what? Well, my stars, I'd love to hear that. Sure, go get them. Well, what do you know about that little Harold Burgess playing the drums?
Ben, what about Clarence?
Oh, Clarence has no musical talent. But now you take Harold. He got the set of drums only last Christmas, and already he can play it. Hello, Harold?
Uh-oh.
Yes, go ahead.
Now listen here, Ben.
Well. Very good, Harold. Was that the bass drum? Oh, the snare. Now play the bass.
Ben.
Now play them both together.
All right, Granny Finn, give me that telephone.
Just a minute, Harold. A friend of mine here wants to hear you play.
I do not.
Take the receiver, Lum. Harold's all set.
Just give me that thing. I'll get Clarence on there. Hello, Harold? Harold? And all you can hear is boom, boom, boom.
That's whispering he's playing. When you get through, tell him it's fine. Really not awful good, but then you've got to remember that Harold is only 27.
27?
He's big for his size.
Oh,
yeah, that was fine, Harold. Now, will you please get Clarence up to that telephone? Well, thank you, Granny. Here, Ben. Now, tell your friend Clarence what we want.
Yes. Hello, Clarence. Say, Clarence, I want to talk to... I said... Oh, my... Well, can't you tell Harold to stop playing the drums? I see. Well, listen, Clarence. I got a house-moving job for you over here in Pine Ridge. I see. All right, fine, Clarence. Goodbye. Clarence says he won't be able to do it for 20 days.
20 days?
I believe that's the sentence for assault and battery.
Assault and battery? Well, he ain't in jail.
No, but he will be.
Ah.
Clarence has reached a decision regarding Harold.
Well, Squire, here's our problem.
Yes, sir. Sit down, Lon. Make yourself comfortable. You smoke cigars?
Well, yeah.
Bad habit. Guess what's your problem, Lom?
Well, we're having trouble over the property next to our store, and I wondered if you knowed who owns it.
Why, I haven't.
You don't want to buy it.
I doubt who owns it. I do.
You do?
Yes, sir. Just let me step into my other office, Lom. There's one little detail I want to check here. I'm looking over an old pushover. Miss Eastrunk, Squire Skimp, I'll give you $500 for that lot of yours next to the Jot 'em Down store. Fine. Goodbye. That little detail's ironed out. I can sacrifice you that lot for $1,300, Mom.
$1,300?
Yes, I'm going to let you have it.
Granny's, I've done had it.
Now, if you just sign this paper here,
Lump. But, Squire, we don't want to buy the whole lot.
You don't?
No, we just want a foot and a half strip of it next to our property.
Great balls of fire.
We just found out our store's a foot and a half over on the next lot, and it costs too much to move it, so we figured the cheapest thing to do was buy that little strip.
Yes, Lum, that is very unfortunate.
Unfortunate?
Yes, you see, business property sells for so much a front foot.
Well, this ought to be cheap, then. We just want a foot and a half of front feet.
But yes, Lum, but, see, that lot was laid out a little peculiarly, Lum. Well, to be honest, the front runs along the side. And inasmuch as the lot is deeper than it is wide, why, that little strip there'd cost you more than a whole lot, Lum.
Well, I don't understand that.
I don't either. Now, Lum, of course, you don't want to put out that much cash. You can take a 99-year lease on that little strip and just pay rent, you know.
Well, how much would that be?
Oh, well... Well, you say, $20 a year.
Is that all? Granny's, we'll take that.
Well, of course, now, you know how these leases work, huh?
Why, sure.
You pay the first and the last 40 years rent in advance. Yeah. That comes to $820.
Well, now, wait a minute. Why do I have to pay the last 40 years on it?
Mom, you don't expect to live 99 years, do you?
Of course not.
Well, all right. You can't make the payments after you're dead.
I never thought of that.
Yeah. Let me write up this lease here now. That'll be one parcel of land, a foot and a half wide by 60 feet, running adjacent to the south side of the Jotham Downs.
South side? Wait a minute. We don't want that.
What?
We want the strip on the north side.
Great balls of fire, kid, where you can't trust anybody.
Well, if Squire Skimp don't own the lot to the north of us, then who in the world... wait just a minute, Lum. Don't Sister Simpson own some property around here, Summers?
Say, she might be the one. Get her on the phone.
Yeah, oh, that's a good idea. Just call her.
Now, try to get her to come right to the point, though. If she gets to rambling on like she general does, we'll never find out nothing. There's a jaw-flappingest one woman I ever knew.
Dog, it don't seem to be nobody home over there.
Maybe she went down... Wait a minute. Here she comes now.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hang up, Abner.
Hello, Abner.
Hey, Sister Simpson. How are you?
Oh, just tolerable. How'd you sail?
Abner, hang up. Miss Simpson ain't home.
Why, she is, too. I can hear her just as plain as if she's right here in the store.
Well, she is.
Hey, shut up, Lum. You told me to get right to the point and not let her get the flapping that big jaw of hers.
Just who do you think you're a-talking about, Abner Peabody?
Oh, the old biddy must have heard me.
She's standing right in back of you here.
Well, how could she be? Huh? Oh, well, I'll be dead late. Just a second. Hello, Sister Simpson. You can hang up now. You're here.
Hey, Sister Simpson, do you know who owns the lot to the north of us here? You know, they're right here next to the store, to the north of it.
Why, yes, I do. I know all about that lot. Homer Peterson sold it to Roy Greeley in 1921.
Roy Greeley, huh? Well, that's what we want to know.
Well, now, I think it was Roy. Did Roy have a pivot tooth?
How would I know? I never even known Roy.
Well, all I know is that he sold it to Emmy Parsons about 1931.
Well, good.
Lost it for taxes, though, in 1932.
Well, looks like the thing to do is check the county tax records.
Yes, you could. You won't find it out nothing there, though, because it wore
What was it, Sister Simpson?
Well, you won't find out nothing about it there, for the courthouse burned down there.
Oh, man, oh. For goodness sake, no wonder you wouldn't say it.
That's the same year that Ed and Ethel Hornby wanted to get a divorce, but they couldn't because the records was burned up, and they couldn't prove they was married.
Well, what'd they do?
Well, what could they do? They just had to go on a living together. Oh.
I thought you said you knowed who owned that lot.
Well, I do. Elsie Lovelace bought it in the next auction, 1937.
Who?
Oh, I don't think you ever knowed Elsie. Just lived here a short time. Kept moving around from town to town and looking for her ideal man.
Her ideal man? What in the world was her ideal?
Well, first, he had to be a man.
Yeah?
Oh, that's all. From there on, it never mattered.
All right, just tell us who Elsie sold the lot to.
Nobody. She still owns it.
Well, that's the one we've been trying to find out about.
request it is at the county seat.
Well, Granny, let's hurry up and shoot her a telegram before it's too late. Granny. Mr. Simpson, why in the world didn't you tell us about this Elsie Lovelace in the first place?
Well, it weren't my fault. You kept a button in nasty about all them other people.
Wait a minute, Abner. Read that telegram again.
Says, Mr. Lom Edders, Pine Ridge, Arkansas, period. Purchase a foot and a half strip of property owned by Elsie Lovelace entirely out of the question. Signed, F.W. Bushnell, attorneys at law.
Well, Grannies, I don't care what this lawyer her says. We ain't whipped yet. I'm going to go right direct to Miss Lovelace herself.
Well, what good will that do?
Well, you heard what Sister Simpson said about her. Said she was looking for her ideal man.
Well, what about him?
Look at me. Look at my profile.
Do what?
I say, look at my profile.
Well, I can't see it with your head turned to one side that way.
Look at my chest.
Oh, that's a shame. What happened?
Look, Abner, when Elsie Lovelace gets one look at me, she'll... Well, what else can she think?
Well, maybe she'll be polite enough not to say it, honey.
All right, Marty, how do you propose we get it then?
Well, go direct to that lawyer, that Bushnell, and just make him sell it to us.
All right, you go and make him sell it to us.
Me? Now, wait just a minute now, Lom. I don't know what to say to no lawyer. I don't know a habeas from a corpus, hardly.
I don't care. You've made your bet. Now, crawl out.
Not long, now.
We're leaving for the county seat right now. You go to Bushnell, and I'll go to Elsie Lovelace. All right, Grannies, we'll just see who gets that property.
Are you sure we're going to get a ride to the county seat high-kitching this away?
Sure. All you do is just hold out your thumb and look wistful.
How do you make your thumb look wishful?
Wait a minute. There comes a car.
Huh? Oh,
Granny, be stopping, too. Come on, Abner. Climb in. Hey, how far are you going, mister?
Why, I'm stopping here.
Huh?
Say, can you tell me where I can find the owners of the Jot 'em Down store?
Yeah?
Sure.
Well, where? You're looking at us.
Oh, well, then, you must be Mr. Edwards and Mr. Peabody. Why didn't you tell me who you were?
Never ask us.
Well, I'm Wendell Niles, the Frigidaire representative for your district.
Well, how do you do?
Yeah, I'm proud to meet your acquaintance, sir.
I'm out here to help you in any way that I can. Is there anything you need in your store?
Yep, we need more space.
Well, I'm the fellow to help you then, because, you see, the new Frigidaire refrigerators give more space than ever before. Up to 50% more storage space inside, yet they don't take any more space outside.
Well, I'll be a polka dot impossible.
Right. Just think what all that extra storage space and the same kitchen space can mean to you.
Now, just whose kitchen is this, Mr. Niles?
Anybody's kitchen. In the new Frigidaire Deluxe, for example, you have room for loads of fresh fruits and vegetables in the big glass-topped hydrator. Up to 50 pounds of frozen food in the big super freezer chest. And room for meats, eggs, bottles, and dishes of leftovers. Just about everything you want to keep cold and safe. Remember, in a refrigerator, safety depends on cold. And only Frigidaire has the Meatermizer, the simplest cold-making mechanism ever built. So simple, you can hardly hear it run. So powerful, it keeps the biggest Frigidaire refrigerators filled with cold, even in the hottest weather. No wonder Frigidaire is America's number one refrigerator. Now, how about seeing where we can put these beautiful new Frigidaires in your store?
All right, doggies, if they got all that space in them, it'll be easier to put the store in the Frigidaire.
Now, back to our story. Abner discovered some boundary stakes which indicate that the Jot 'em Down store is a foot and a half over on the next property. Unable to afford to move the building, Lum has decided to use his romantic personality to induce the owner, Elsie Lovelace, to sell him that foot and a half strip. But Abner is going to see her lawyer, Mr. Bushnell, to accomplish the same thing. While Lum is at Miss Lovelace's, we find Abner entering Attorney Bushnell's office, where he receives a warm welcome.
Get out of here!
but your secretary said that...
All right, sit down. Here we go, just a minute. I have a few papers here to sign.
Yes, sir.
What is that noise?
Careful, Hazelnut.
No! No, I don't want any hazelnuts.
They're right tasty.
Hmm. Yes, Miss Clark, what is it? Oh, good grief. How can people get themselves in such idiotic trouble? Oh, all right, tell him to wait. I don't know where all these lunatics come from.
I'm from Pine Ridge.
Just what do you want?
Well, sir, I'm Abner Peabody, and I want to talk to you some more about that foot and a half strip of ground that me and Lum Edwards wants to buy.
Oh, so you're the one who sent that telegram. I wondered what you'd look like.
Yeah, see, our store's on the lot next door to it, and we was aiming on expanding, and we needed some more room.
Oh, yes, yes, I see. Well, why didn't you explain that in your telegram?
Well, my partner read it, and he said we had to be cagey. Whatever that means. He's got the disadvantage of being smart.
Hmm. Yes, I could tell he was handicapped in some way.
I'll tell him. He'll appreciate that. Hmm.
Yes, I think we can arrange the sale of that property all right. We'll drive over to my house and have my wife sign the papers.
Well, what for? Elsie Lovelace owns that lot.
Elsie Lovelace is my wife.
Huh?
Now, come along. I haven't much time.
Well, wait just a minute. I sort of hate to bust in on your wife, but at a time like this. You
know? Well, confidentially, Mr. Peabody, I'd welcome an opportunity to bust in on my wife and just see what she's up to.
Huh?
It's not that I don't trust her, you understand, not exactly. It's just that she wavers.
Yes, let's.
Yes, she's got some sentimental bee in her bonnet about finding her ideal man.
Well.
And from the remarks that she's been dropping lately, I am not him, or he.
I know somebody else that ain't he, neither.
But I'll tell you this. If I ever walk into my little cottage and find another man there, I'll tear him to
pieces.
Yes, pieces. I'll beat him to
a pulp.
Yes, a pulp.
I'm doing good. Try me on another. Lord,
excuse me, Mr. Peabody. I'm an insanely jealous man. I build these things up in my own mind. Well, I guess actually the occasion will never arise when I'll do something wild.
You want a bet?
Well, now, come along. Let's go out to my house.
See, I can't. I got to visit a sick friend of mine.
Oh, is he in the hospital?
No, but he soon will be.
Well, come on. Hurry up, Peabody. I haven't got all day. Come on.
I do get off some good ones now and then, Miss Lovelace.
Why do you keep calling me Miss Lovelace?
Well, may I call you Elsie?
Well, that is my name.
Elsie, would you care for another hazelnut?
No, thanks.
I got a whole bag full of them. Have all you want to keep.
Yes, well, tell me some more about Pine Ridge, Mr. Edwards. It's been so long since I've been there.
Yeah, well...
I still hope that you forgive me for mistaking you for the interior decorator when you came in. I'm having the whole place redecorated. I might try Renaissance.
Yes, he's a good man.
Mr. Edwards, wouldn't you be more comfortable sitting over here on the divan by me?
No, I'm comfort here. Would like to loosen my shoes, though, but... How buttons sort of pinch me there.
Mr. Edwards, are you interested in palm reading?
Well, what with the store and all, I don't have much time for reading.
Oh, now, you sit right down here. That's a good boy. Now, take my hand and look at my palm.
Yeah?
And look at the lines in it.
Oh, well, I wouldn't worry about that. None of us is as young as we was.
No, I mean, look at the lines and see...
Well!
Oh!
Well!
Oh,
Anybody care for a hazelnut?
You stopped what I suspected. I have finally...
Now, control yourself. I can explain everything. This is a... Well, I can tell you what this man is doing here.
Out of hell.
He's the interior decorator.
Huh?
He's going to decorate the house.
Oh, I know him.
Well, how do you do, Mr. Decorator? I ain't saw you since you decorated our place last Halloween.
Just a minute here.
Elsie, I demand to know who this creature is.
Well, now, you see, he just
now,
has...
Now, look, Elsie, if this nosy old red-faced ghost's bothering you, I'll be proud to bounce him out of here.
Bounce me out! You get out of this house and keep away from my wife.
I ain't interested in no old biddy you're married to. The objection to my affection is Miss Lovelace here.
And my objection to your affection is that Miss Lovelace is my wife.
I don't care... Huh?
Kind of a peculiar coincidence, ain't it?
Get out,
Mr. Bushnell, what about the property? Ain't you going to let us have that foot and a half?
Foot and a half? I'll do better than that. I'll let you have both feet. Fight in the seat of the pen.
Granny, is Mr. Zinkapoos. I never knowed before it was such a hard job moving a building over just a foot and a half.
Well, sir, Mr. Edwards, that there's one of the hardest jobs I ever tackled. Yes, sirree, Bob. That'll be $1,100.
$1,100? Why, we could have got it moved for $900. Ben Withers said you'd do it cheaper.
Well, sir, we had to pour a whole new cement foundation for it. Yes, sir, whole new. But I'll say one thing, though. You got a building there now that you couldn't move with one of them there atomizer bombs. Yep. $1,100.
Yeah, well, I reckon we'll have to pay it.
Yes, sir, you bob, sir. Well, sir, I'll just check in that bound sticks again now. Make sure we got the store exactly on your lot.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Hey, Abner, where's them stakes you found the other day?
Well, one of them's right back of you there, and the other one...
Wait a minute. Are these the stakes you went by?
Why, sure.
Oh, you crazy idiot. Them ain't boundary stakes. Them some old horseshoe stakes.
Huh?
We was right smack on our own lot in the first place.
Oh, there you are, Lum. What are you trying to pull here, anyway?
Trying to pull? What are you talking about, Squire?
Talking about? You just moved that store here to foot and a half over on my property. Now, either give me a check for $1,300 or move that shack right back where it belongs.
Lum and Alger will be back in just a moment. But first, here is a question and an answer. Why is the Frigidaire automatic washer different from all others? Here's why. Because it has live water action that washes and rinses clothes so clean they sparkle. Rapid dry spin that gets them so light and dry that they're a joy to handle. And all you do is just touch a dial. That's all. Your hands need never be in water. Learn about the wonderful Frigidaire automatic washer tomorrow at your Frigidaire dealers. Speaking, this is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.